baby.
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
Here, this kind of feels maybe lazy a little bit.
Welcome to Set Jitter Pop. Some movie screenings.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, at that point, why not?
It's got to be Saturday somewhere. It does sound familiar.
It's hilarious. I think we did like 5 shows on this movie.
My name is Tom Cullen.
Oh, you bite your tongue if this does not hold up.
Cream corn tonight. Cream corn tonight. That should be good corn time. It's a movie. Just wait for the big giveaway at 9.
Happy Saturday, Robert.
Happy Saturday to you.
How's the world treating you, sir?
Not too bad. It's, you know, getting to be summer here. A little humid, but otherwise.
Humidity is approaching Omaha.
It just messes with my hair.
Yeah, you can't have that. What do you despise worse? Humidity to where you can cut it with a butter knife, or the bittery wintry colds of like 6 degrees?
Humidity. It's just
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You can always put on more coats and, you know.
Yeah, humidity is just no good. It makes you kind of miserable.
Yeah,
it's
there's
not
just
like
nothing
hot. It's hot. Humid
yeah,
is like,
and it's just moist and yucky. So
it's gross.
It is gross.
But what's not gross is listening to the podcast of Set Jitter Saturdays with Robert Patterson. Check him out at setjitter.com as well as on Instagram. We have a very exciting show tonight. We're going to get into the Razzies. We've been talking about the Razzies year by year, and this year we have the... Is this the 4th annual Razzies?
So this is 1984, so this must be the 5th, because I was 80, yeah, so 1984 films.
Which is really exciting, and then we're going to get into a special quiz later on, guess the movie by the tagline.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited for this.
You will be in the hot seat for this.
I feel like I will. I feel like I'm not going to do very well.
But, you know, when you take it out of context, you know.
It's a holding ball game when it's out of context. And then we'll do Blind Man's Bluff later, where we dive through one of Robert's pages. But first, let's get into what you've been watching. Let's kick it off with you, Robert. What have you been watching?
So it's been a while since we had a show. So since that time, the season finale of Picard, which I think hit all the right notes, and feel like they're probably done. They can't beat that season. So I think they should just be done.
You think that is it done, or do you think that's going to be?
I don't know. They did it just right. That Picard. It's kind of like there's no more finale to be. You know, it's kind of like Star Trek VI, but it was the perfect bookend.
Yeah,
you left them, everybody in the right place, and you got everybody back. They'll never be able to do that again. So
it's nice when they recognize that, and they think, you know what, we can't duplicate this. Let's go out on a high note.
You would hope so, but then, you know.
But then you see that bank account.
Yeah.
You go, yeah, let's do 8 more.
Yeah, but it was worth it. So I also finally checked out Cocaine Bear.
Cocaine Bear. It's based on a true story.
Semi-based, yeah. So
yeah.
How
was it?
A torture to get through. Yeah. It
really?
Was not, no.
It doesn't surprise me. I haven't watched it, but Cocaine Bear, about a bear on coke. I don't know that would really get me going. Was Ray Liotta in this?
He was a small part, and it really? Was just, you know, it probably didn't go wild enough, you know, like if you're gonna have a movie called Cocaine Bear, you just go all in, and it kind of played middle of the road too much. So it just was not like I could have walked away at any moment and not cared at all. But
would it be losing sleep?
No.
It wouldn't be one of those situations where it'd say, 57 years, I've slept enough.
Oh, but took a couple sittings, but got through it. So
That's good.
And I don't know if I saw this all the way through during its original run, but I watched Clockstoppers.
Clockstoppers.
If you're not familiar with that.
This is a 2002 American science fiction action film.
It is. So with Jesse Bradford and... So I don't think I'd watch it. So, and of course, now I feel like I have to do the locations. So,
well, of course,
next trip. Yeah.
That's one of the good things about watching a movie that, you know, whether you like it or love it or hate it or whatever, you can still do locations and salvage something great out of it.
Yeah. Especially like I don't know how many people have done Clockstopper locations, but I'll check it out. So,
Clockstopper.
But yeah, I thought it was kind of fun. I mean, it's not a classic by any means.
Yeah.
something that's kind of being touted as a new classic, or actually it did a pretty, it had a great theatrical run, was Terrifier 2.
Mm-hmm.
Low budget horror movie.
Terrifier.
Did you see either one of them?
Yeah, the first one. I've actually been talking a lot about Terrifier 2 lately with somebody that swears it's like this great movie. And I was like, I should probably watch it. I've seen the first one. It's gets under your skin.
Yeah, I enjoyed the first one.
Yeah.
Second one, no. Let's just say it's about 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Really that long?
It is unnecessarily long.
For like, a horror film? Terrifier 1's, it's with the talk show, right?
Art the Clown.
Yes. Art the Clown, which is creepy.
Yeah, so it does a good job, but it's literally kind of run into the ground, I think. So I just like, I'm glad, always glad horror movies get an audience for sure. But,
horror movies don't know how to make a one and done. I mean, unless it's something special, they usually always do a sequel if it makes money, regardless, you know? And they don't always do it right. Is that kind of the case with Terrifier 2?
Maybe. I mean, it's still relatively low budget. More compared to the last one, but it's just kind of everything in the kitchen sink. They loved everything about it and just didn't take anything out. And I was just like,
it's a little too long, guys.
You need a person to say, yeah, we're not doing this, but you know, it did well, but
yeah, made its money.
It did. And good for those guys. Swarm, the TV series, which, is it Amazon Prime, I think. So I finally took a look at that. That I did enjoy. So,
you did?
I did.
Oh, good.
I didn't quite know what was happening. Or I should say that. I didn't know what was going to always happen next, which is a good sign. And each episode is almost a not quite different genre, but they kept mixing it up and also maybe want a season two. So,
oh, nice.
Donald Glover was one of the creators of this. So, it was good. I was pleasantly surprised.
I like Donald Glover. I'd be on board with that.
Yeah. Still watching Mrs. Davis on Peacock, which I am enjoying. I don't think it'll be everybody's cup of tea, but
it looks really cool. Like the trailers look really like it makes you look like it's a fun ride.
I enjoy it. I've been looking forward to the next episode and saw a wonderful documentary called Judy Blume Forever, which was at Sundance this past year, but we didn't get to see it. Do check that out.
Judy Blume, I always confuse her and Beverly Cleary. Judy Blume was the
Superfudge, and the new movie coming out is what's the Margaret's? I just totally forgot.
Are you there, God? It's me.
It's me, Margaret. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which one of my websites gave it a 10 out of 10. So I'm curious to see that movie now. But I knew a little bit about Judy Blume, but after this, you just kind of end up loving her. And so.
Yeah. Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing was the one I remember as a kid.
So
she is still alive, too. She's 85.
Oh, yeah, so has a little bookstore down in, is it Costa Rica or Puerto Rico? I can't remember.
Oh, cool.
With her husband, and so love the, highly, highly recommend that documentary.
Is it a biopic about her?
Yeah, so she's in it and talking about how she came to Bright and her ups and downs and how she kind of dealt with things and book banning and all, that she's still, I think some of her books are still banned.
Why were they banned? Because they dabbled in.
They talked about SEX, God forbid, for children, and that these are real problems and stuff like that, or using swear words that all the kids are using anyway, but so
she's just calling it like it is.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Which is good because she's not dumbing it down for kids. She's like, hey, I'm speaking to you on your level.
Absolutely. So. Definitely recommend out of everything I've mentioned so far. Check that out. So,
oh, cool.
And then Fatal Attraction, the TV series, has started. So,
ooh, how is it? How does it compare?
So far, so good.
Any rabbits?
There's a rabbit. I'll say that. There's a rabbit in the hallway. of the of one of the apartment buildings. I'm sure it'll come into play. So Josh All Jackson, right. I loved in his Dr. Death series. So yeah. He has horrible hair on this one, but I'm.
Does he? I gotta see what it looks
it
like.
It is just, I don't know what's going on there, but.
I like Joshua Jackson.
Yeah. So it's done a little bit of flashback and forth. So you kind of know where he ends up, which is spoiler alert for those.
Ooh, what's with the hair?
I get distracted every time he's on screen.
What is he trying to do though?
I don't know.
It's almost like he's playing a character of somebody else, but we're not in on the joke.
Yeah, it's just. So I'm not quite sure what's going on with the hair, but
I'm not buying it.
Lizzie Kaplan plays Alex Forrest, and so she, I don't say she played a similar role, but obviously she played Annie in Castle Rock, the TV series.
Yeah.
Kind of that version. So
I like her a lot. Yeah, I really do.
Everybody's pretty good. Everybody's kind of a little bit on the nose. I'm curious. Dee Wallace has been in one scene so far. She plays like a neighbor.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious why she's. I'm sure it'll come up later.
Dee Wallace.
She's there. But So I'll continue to watch that just to kind of see where it ends up.
She was in Cujo as well.
Yes, she was. She was the mom and everything for a while.
Yeah, E.T., Cujo. Cujo is a movie I don't revisit very often.
It still holds up pretty well. So
yeah,
actually, I think that was a 1984 film, if I remember, 83 or 84. But yeah, so it's still pretty good.
They did a major change in that from the book, as you know, which
yes,
probably was the right choice for 1984.
It would have been too much of a downer. I mean,
yeah,
it was a downer enough, you know.
They
were in good shape at the end, no matter what. But
no.
But yeah, so anyway,
but that's cool though. So you recommend Fatal Attraction?
We'll see. Maybe I'll let the whole series ride, and I'll tell you at the end, like, yeah, it's worth your time, or like, just spend 2 hours watching the original.
Just rewatch the original again, yeah. Please.
You never know.
You know what I've been seeing a lot is I don't know why, but Sleeping with the Enemy and Prince of Tides have been appearing on a few different things. Have you watched? We'll just do Sleeping with the Enemy. Have you watched that movie?
I have once.
Have you seen it? I mean, does it hold up? I mean, I saw it once when I was young.
It didn't hold up at the time. I just thought it was kind of ridiculous with the cans all in the right place in the towels.
Oh yeah, the OCD look in, and it's
I was just cackling because I was like, "What's wrong with that? That's fine. That's
that, see, that's the only thing I remember is that reference when she walks in and everything's put." Neatly,
yeah.
But it keeps getting like advertised to me, and I'm just like, I guess it's getting pushed on you. Happened. So,
what's that? Prince of Tides with Barbra Streisand, and is that Prince of Tides? Or?
Prince of Tides. It's I don't remember. So I've seen it. I just don't remember who's in it. It's Streisand.
The more you talk about it, the more.
Yeah, the more we showing more up. It sounds great.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, Streisand and Nick Nolte. That's what it is.
Well, there's only one Streisand movie in my book, and that's The Mirror Has Two Faces.
Oh, so great. With a dreamy Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, I feel like I'm overdue for that one.
I watched that on your recommendation. Yeah. I love that. I love how the classroom scenes, you know?
Oh, my gosh. Standing room only.
Yeah, you would think that you're hearing, you know, Gandhi speak resurrected, and you only have one chance. They're all in there, like, don't you know who this is? And it's like, what?
She's the best professor on campus.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
We're not even in her class.
Yeah.
I'm due to rewatch that again. That was,
I feel
that
like
is great.
It is a good movie. So
they're talking about the mother and
Lauren Bacall. Like,
right. There's just so much going on. It was very ambitious.
the hazy lens at the end, you know, and.
Yeah, what was the thing with the watch in there?
I don't remember. I remember she gave him cufflinks that were prime numbers or something like that. Yeah, and
that was it.
And they're at the and then Brenda Vaccaro didn't lose weight and become pretty, so they're not sure if they can still be friends while she eats a cheeseburger and Barbara eats a salad, and
it's just so good. Oh, it's just, it's amazing.
It's wonderful.
It's wonderful. Something okay, wonderful. Cool. So I gotta watch that again.
What have you been watching?
I haven't watched Judy Blume forever, but I wish I did. Now that's all I'm thinking about.
Please do.
Yeah. Where is it streaming again?
I do not know. I will find it. It's out there. Yeah, so.
Okay. I have watched, I'm all caught up on Yellowstone because there's been a lot of drama in the news about Costner not coming back.
Oh, yeah. So which I heard some of his demands seem a little ridiculous, but.
Yeah, he's asking for like $1.5 million an episode.
And for 2 days work or something. Like, come on.
Yeah, he said he'd give him like a whole week and that was it. You know, he's not even the biggest part of the show. He's obviously the lead and the biggest star, but he doesn't have as many scenes as everybody else. They kind of, you can see his filming schedule was done like on the same day, and he kind of,
you know,
went because he's working on a Western, like his own movie, like he's directing Western, and he just wants to do that. So I don't know. I rewatched it. Yellowstone's to me, it's good. It's not great. It's not worth the hype.
All right. I've not watched. I think my mother watches it, but yeah.
Yeah, it's got some stuff that's really interesting. There's some really great episodes and writing, but overall, it feels more like a soap opera than The Sopranos or Breaking Bad. It's just there's a lot of melodramatic scenes, and you're like, that wouldn't happen.
No.
Like there's one scene where I won't give anything away, but one of the characters kills someone, and they go to dump him off a cliff in this remote part of Wyoming that like nobody lives near, and that's why they do it. And as he's doing it, his sister comes out of nowhere with a camera and takes a picture and was like, I got you now. But he drove there at night for like 3 hours and her car was nowhere to be found. So you're thinking she's just in the cold, like waiting there for hours for this
at the
one
right
shot.
Spot.
Yeah, like it's just so unbelievable. Mm. But it's got some, it's beautifully shot, you know.
Yeah.
So, and I rewatched Avengers Infinity Wars, kind of a random one, but was kind of having an itch for a superhero film, so I fired that up.
Did it end differently this time?
It ended very differently. I was not disappointed. When you know how it ends, you just kind of...
It's like, Marvel's not doing too well lately, but I think it's probably... No. That's their path they created. I mean, you can only go so long. People have had enough. Yeah.
Yeah, after 10 years and $10, $12 billion movies, you can't really reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that. And then I just watched the final season of The Office. I was listening to the Office Ladies podcast.
Yeah.
Which is fun. And they were talking about some of the episodes in the final season. I remember thinking the final season obviously wasn't anything great, but it was a lot better than the second to last season because the writers knew, we did a really bad job with season 8. So they kind of made it, it's still ridiculous, some of the plot lines, but they kind of honed it in, and Michael Scott came back for one episode. So it was kind of a little trip down memory lane, nostalgia lane, I should say. Sure. Like,
my sister's been watching a lot of The Office, I think it's good filling time and good for a laugh. Or they have like the extended, like you talked about before, that some things.
The super fan episodes.
Yeah, you might not have seen or something like that. So
yeah, they just released season.
Yeah. So that's my hotel watching, as you know. Since
It's like
I swear there's just Office channels, Office channels and Law and Order SVU channel. That's all that's on in hotels.
Right. Yeah. What's good about The Office too is if there's a character you don't like or a scenario you don't, that's not your favorite, they jump around so much you quickly forget, and that's what makes it like a great show. You know, like you could not like Michael Scott's character or something, but you could still like the show because you're like, oh, well, look at all the, there's so much going on. So,
good.
So that was mostly it for me. Watched a few movies. I watched The Coronation this morning, Robert.
Oh, I watched some clips. Nobody seemed too happy.
Very.
It just seems like a very a dismal affair.
It was very dismal. It was. I watched it last night, like, because it was starting at like 2 a.m. So I fell asleep watching it when the king rolled up, but it's funny because every 5 seconds they say, and then you'll notice this is a slimmed down monarchy occasion, and then later on there's going to be a flyover and it's a slimmed down version. Some of the clothing that you're seeing walking on there prior from other escapades, they're a bit more slimmed down, And I'm like, I get it. I get it. They're saving money for the taxpayers, but the only adjectives they had were slim down.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, how many times are you anchors going to say this?
They probably were made to say that.
Had to be, because I read an article today and it says it was a slim down flyover, you know, when they do the planes.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what is a slim down they were flyover? Supposed to be 60. Does the plane have one engine on?
They were supposed to have 60, and I think they only had like 20 that ended up going because it was wet, bad weather and so forth. But
is that what it was?
I do know Harry was not allowed on the balcony, which is silly.
He wasn't allowed. He was shuffled to the third row with Andrew. Hey, put the guy near the child molester, like, okay. And then he left. He was back on the plane from what I read. Yeah.
Good for
balcony, you. Apparently, it's a big deal.
Apparently, and it is kind of, you know, whether you liked her or not, the queen had a huge following, which the king just does not hear, you know, like,
no,
nobody,
not at all.
I don't even think everybody just felt like they really didn't want to be there.
Yeah, I don't.
Pictures I saw.
And the celebrities, like when other royal engagements, you have like Elton John and David Beckham, like those guys weren't there. They had like Emma Thompson and Kenneth Branagh. Mm-hmm.
Katy Perry.
Oh, yeah. Katy Perry couldn't find her seat.
I felt like I wanted to create a little meme where she's like, I think I've made a huge mistake. Like,
why was she there, though? What's her connection?
I don't know.
She's American.
Yeah. Maybe somebody who knows.
Because you have to get invited. You can't just buy tickets. Oh, so
yeah, no. Yeah,
it's weird that she was there.
I'm sure there was a reason, but...
Probably did some charitable work, and Prince or King Charles is all about that, so I bet that was the connection.
It's blackmail. They have something on her. I mean, just come on.
Come on. What are you going to do? But let's get into the Razzies. Revisiting the Razzies by a year. This is 1985 for 1984 films. And how dare they put some of these on there? How dare them?
Yeah, some are. And here's the thing with the Razzies that I'm kind of disappointed in is like sometimes some of these aren't horribly bad movies. They're just horribly boring, which makes it kind of less fun. But
good point.
But this year they had a Worst Career Achievement Award given to Linda Blair, even though she doesn't show up in any of these 1984 movies. So I don't know if they, you know, there's some people they just have it out for. And I'm like, Linda Blair is one of those for some reason.
And they did a worst an achievement, you know, like you're so bad. We're just going to honor you. It's like somebody had it out for her, I think. It's like,
please stop working. Yeah. Right. So anyway, that was one of them. So they also had another Worst New Star.
That's funny.
Which had some people, Michelle Johnson for Blame It on Rio, Apollonia for Purple Rain, Andrea, can't pronounce her last name, from Bolero, Russell Todd from Where the Boys Are, 84. Russell Todd was in Friday the 13th Part 2 as he gets killed up, swinging upside down.
Oh, that's Russell Todd.
Yeah, so he just kind of...
After the casino night.
Yes. So he is somehow, he was called out for that as well. So,
oh yeah, he played Scott.
The winner was Olivia Diabo for Bolero and Conan the Destroyer.
Ooh, she had a double feature.
She had a double, and she's a future Bond girl too. So I suspect she may show up on this list again.
She was in Living Daylights.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
But. So those are the worst.
Well, don't say you're not going to make anything after yourselves, after the Razzies.
Yeah, yeah. And how's Russell Todd a new star? He's already been. I don't know. I don't know how they count.
Good
new
point.
Stars. New to them.
Where the Boys Are is.
It's a remake. So 80. Where the Boys Are 84 is a. Update, I guess. Or.
Okay. Lisa Hartman.
Yes. And. Lorna left from Grease 2.
Got it.
Well. So,
oh, yeah.
I'm playing college. Like, everybody's way old.
Yeah, I love when they do that.
Yeah.
34. He's a senior.
Yeah. Even the title, Where the Boys Are. Like, these aren't even boy. Anyway.
Yeah. I know, right?
So, we're supporting actress Susan Anton for Cannonball Run 2. Olivia Diabo for previously mentioned. Mary Lou Henner. For Cannonball Run 2.
Oh.
Which Cannonball Run 2 is an awful film for sure, but
oh, it's up there with
yeah.
Yeah.
Diane Lane.
By the way, can I just, say something real quick? Cannonball 2 was the one that had, it had like Sinatra and Sammy Davis in there. They had people on set that just did a scene or something.
Yeah, they were there to get a quick paycheck and add their names to the movie marquee.
It's just amazing. They were Dean Martin was in there. I mean, basically the Rat Pack they got in that. Yeah.
Diane Lane for the Cotton Club and Streets of Fire. But the winner was Lynn Holly Johnson for Where the Boys Are 84.
Where the Boys Are. Congratulations, Lynn Holly Johnson.
She was at a Hollywood show last time. I remember I was there. I saw her.
Oh, she was a Bond girl for Your Eyes Only.
Yeah. And she was in Ice Castles, I think, and stuff like that. So, but yeah.
Yes.
We're supporting actor Robbie Benson for Harry and Son. Don't even know that movie. Sammy Davis Jr. There you go. For Cannonball Run 2. George Kennedy for Bolero and Ron Liebman for Rhinestone.
Oh.
Rhinestone will be mentioned later in this list too.
Okay. Rhinestone's just Stallone.
Yes.
Right.
Now the winner for Best Supporting Actor somehow is Brooke Shields with a mustache for Sahara.
She has a stash in it?
I do not know. There must be a scene. So Sahara was kind of one of those that was notoriously bad. I think it might have been a Golden Globe as her canon film. So that they sunk a lot of money in thinking, this is going to be, the new Indiana.
It was a canon film.
Yeah, so.
Throw it out there.
Yeah.
Sahara, 1983, and I'm reading this, the budget was $25 million. It brought in $1.4
million. Oof.
I mean, for 1983, that's a lot of money to lose.
Yeah.
That's that would be like $100 million making like $5 million. That's really bad.
You know it's a canon film with those ratios.
The canon.
Ugh.
Amazing.
Worst actress, Faye Dunaway for Supergirl. Okay. Shirley MacLaine for Cannonball Run 2, which is just,
they got her in that, too.
Well, you follow up Terms of Endearment with Cannonball Run 2,
Yeah, true. Yeah, how do you do that?
That's what you get.
A classic and then this.
Tanya Roberts for Sheena, which she might have been a little out of her element. Brooke Shields for Sahara. The winner was Bo Derek for Bolero.
Aw, Bo Derek.
Which
Bolero is, it's like a sexual film, isn't it?
Yes. And that was also a canon film.
Was it really?
Yeah, I remember on the, she said that there's a couple of documentaries about canon films. And I think this is the one that she left her photographs or something that at the office and they ended up using those without her knowing as for promotional posters for Bolero and stuff like that.
Oh, like acting headshots kind of thing?
Yeah, they used them for the post. Yeah, and she said, that's not even yours. It's not even for the film.
It's not.
And just so. Yeah, and she's one of those that, because it's a pretty sexualized film, and then I think it was sexual enough, and they said, we need more, and she's like, are you kidding? What?
What?
do you
They need? Took advantage.
Yeah, but...
We're talking about Bolero, right?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
So, which every film she's in. I had a feeling that she could have maybe been kind of a... in the right roles, almost kind of like a Madonna, role where in small doses, just nailed it.
It could have been a lot different.
Worst actor, Lorenzo Lamas for Body Rock, which I'm not familiar with, but Lorenzo Lamas was in best known for Grease, I think, is probably one of his main films.
Yeah, for sure.
Jerry Lewis. Slapstick of Another Kind.
Jerry Lewis or Jerry Lee Lewis?
It just says Jerry Lewis. So it's and the title Slapstick of Another Kind, so it must be that Jerry Lewis, which
the worst.
Yeah.
Couldn't stand him.
Peter O'Toole for Supergirl. That's a whole other film we need to talk about.
I didn't realize he was even in that.
Oh yes, in a few scenes, overacting.
They got Lawrence of Arabia in Supergirl?
Yes.
Wow.
Bring in the bucks.
Hey, good for them. Was that a canon film?
No. Canon didn't get it till later. This was a TriStar, I think. TriStar was at least releasing it, I know. But
okay.
Burt Reynolds for Cannonball Run 2 and City Heat. But the winner was Sylvester Stallone for Rhinestone.
Congratulations. And Dolly Parton is in Rhinestone, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yes.
So obviously trying to get those both together and
on paper.
80. Yeah.
What does that look like?
Yeah. You can't go wrong. Two of the biggest stars.
And it lost money, I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, what's
Richard Farnsworth was in it. So I don't remember if I've seen this. I feel like I have.
It's one of those, if you see the trailer, you've probably seen enough.
Yeah, one of those deals.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Rhinestone. Worst director, Bob Clark for Rhinestone. Okay. Now, Bob Clark has, he's made, obviously.
Made some great films.
Porky's, Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Black Christmas. He's had some high tempo ones, and then he's had some low ones. I'm sorry, first to add to the high tempo ones, Baby Geniuses, of course.
Baby Geniuses. But, yeah. Get that baby.
Also nominated for Worst Director, Brian De Palma. When I talk about people they just hate.
Yeah, they really hate Brian De Palma.
Yeah, and this year's nominated for Body Double.
Body Double.
John Guillermin for Sheena. So John would end up directing, or his final directing, well, I'm sure will show up later, was King Kong Lives. So we'll be talking about him.
Oh, we have to. Yeah.
Hal Needham for Cannonball Run 2. Hmm. But the winner was John Derrick for Bolero.
Bolero is not getting any love this year. Mm-mm. Was Bo Derek in Tarzan?
Yeah, so I think that comes later. She was
okay.
That one was Tarzan the Ape Man, which is really was just about her. I can't remember who plays Tarzan in it, but
right. I remember it was like a showpiece about her.
Yeah, it was all her on the poster. I don't think Tarzan was even on the poster.
No, it doesn't even exist in there. Yeah.
Oh, the titillating 80s.
Absolutely.
And then Worst Picture, Cannonball Run 2, Rhinestone, Sheena, Where the Boys Are, 84, but the winner was Bolero.
Bolero took home the gold that year.
They were just running. I was really thought Supergirl would be the one it wasn't even nominated, but
yeah, because Supergirl was pretty panned.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was.
I remember the effects in Supergirl. You could almost see the strings and like in the flying scenes, where gravity ends and whatever she was sitting on like meets, like it was like that kind of level.
They had
where you're like, this
one
is just bad.
One great effects scene when she comes out of the water, it's like obviously it's a two-dimensional thing that they pulled out. Later, when she's first learning to fly, they had began to kind of perfect some of the things. So she was able to do things they hadn't done before, which still looked pretty good. And then it's kind of the plot. I mean, it just became outrageous for, you know,
it's too ambitious.
A female, you know, superhero. She has to have a female villain, which they still did. Like when was it Wonder Woman 84?
Yeah.
This kind of ridiculousness. But she's
a female villain. So who was her female villain Supergirl?
Faye Dunaway and Brenda Vaccaro.
Oh, wow.
Also co-starred.
Faye Dunaway was Selena.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know. So it was one of the things on paper, some things began to make sense, and then execution just did not. But
not happening.
It is a guilty pleasure of mine. But
Supergirl is?
Oh, yeah. So I have all the versions, you know. It was there's something semi-endearing about it and ridiculousness, but I think I told you. So Hart Bochner's in it, and he's best known for the Jackass and Die Hard. The one that's trying to make a deal, you know.
Yeah.
So far. So I remember I met him at Sundance and I was talking about Supergirl and he was looking at me like, are you kidding me? Like, you're talking to me about that movie. And I'm like, come on.
Everything you could brought up.
Yeah. And Helen Slater came to Omaha, I remember, for like a comic book day. So I remember I met her.
Oh, that's so cool.
I've had her sign. The best line in the movie is like, this is not a costume. These are my clothes.
are my clothes.
That's what I had her write on my photograph. But yeah, so.
I read just now that Christopher Reeve was supposed to have a cameo, but he like bowed out.
Yeah.
He explains it in the movie that he left for a peace-seeking mission or something.
He's very in a galaxy long ways away. That's why he can't help any of this, you know.
So rather than just write him out of the storyline, he's in that universe, obviously.
Yeah,
they just said he was like fighting somewhere.
because Lois Lane's sister is her dorm mate at the all-girls school, and Jimmy Olsen is still in it. Jimmy Olsen is dating Lois Lane's sister. So it all takes place in the same world. But
okay. So yeah, it's all tied in.
But yeah, so
I like it.
The Razzies.
That was the Razzies. That was that was an interesting year, though. Yeah. That is an interesting year. 84.
84 is one of my favorite movie years, which
you said that before.
We may find out based on the next segment. But before we get to that, I want to make sure it is Berkshire Days in Omaha, if you're not familiar with that.
Berkshire Days?
Yeah, Berkshire Weekend in Omaha. So, Warren Buffett, usually one of the top five richest people in the world, has his annual meeting. And this attracts 40,000 some people every year during different years and so forth. So it's down at, at our arena. And then, on Saturday morning, he has like a meeting and kind of Q&A and so forth. But there's a lot of deals and stuff. Cool. So I went down yesterday with my sister she had never been there to kind of see the different booths and stuff like that of all the kind of companies and so forth.
That's cool.
At every meeting, first Saturday, they start with a film, 10-minute kind of piece where you can't record it. It's never shown online. You will never ever see these films unless you're sitting there live. Each year is a little bit different. And he's kind of usually making fun of his, one of the years I went, it was Entourage. He was hanging out with the Entourage gang from the series.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to make deals and stuff like that. So I didn't go to the meeting this morning, but I started getting texts like, "You should be here. Why aren't you here?"
Oh.
Jamie Lee Curtis was the star of this year's film.
Oh, no way. She was in there?
Yeah.
That sucks. It sucks you weren't there.
Yeah. So I heard pieces and my parents called it to kind of tell me about what the deal was in the film. So the premise more or less is him and Charlie Munger, his kind of co-person at Berkshire, something about internet stock and we need. So he calls up Jamie Lee Curtis, who's kind of, and she says something like, from what I've read, like, "Is this the Warren from All You Can Eat Buffet?" And he's like, "I'm trying to convince Charlie, to do internet stocks. He loves you in True Lies and blah, 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 blah." And so, I think from what I heard that Warren Buffett goes to Jamie Lee's house and he has a bunch of Ginsu knives and they start playing the Halloween theme because he thought maybe you can help us pitch this because you and the knives and the Halloween connection and so forth. And
are you serious?
Yeah. And then and he says something, I think Charlie calls and she goes, "Is that Charlie?" And she grabs the phone and shuts the door on him and so forth. But yeah, so I missed out.
Gosh. Poor guy. You should have been there.
I know, but
the fact that they even replicated the Halloween scene.
There are people that they start camping out at 3 a.m. to get good seats for this.
I can't imagine.
Because it's done in a huge, arena and so forth. And people are excited. People go to Warren Buffett's house and take pictures in front of it, which seems weird to me, but obviously I do that in a different way. But
well, is the arena like a where they hold concerts kind of thing?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's
so people get tickets for it? Or is there like a first come, first serve?
Seating is first come, first serve. There's some VIP rows, where if Bono's there or Bill Gates, people like that, the rich people there.
Sure.
But, yeah.
Robert Patterson.
But literally that you can't rent a car in Omaha, you can't book a hotel room.
Shuts flights down.
Everything is taken. Yeah, everybody just shows up, which is kind of there's no other financial investor annual meeting that has that attraction. So we're kind of used to it.
I can't think of any.
But people come from all over.
Well, also because Warren Buffett's such an interesting guy with his wisdom and advice, it's not like he's just a rich old guy that doesn't say anything. And he gives out, he speaks and things like that. So I feel like even if he weren't one of the richest men in the world, he would still be a really interesting guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. So I saw some little tidbit this morning where him and Charlie Munger, so they're asking about Elon Musk, and he's like, "Well, we don't mess around with Elon too much or whatever." And Charlie Munger said, "Yeah, we don't like failure that much." So good for them. They're funny, but
Elon Musk was on Bill Maher on Friday, which is kind of a surprising guest. Yeah. But he's an interesting guy to look at when he talks.
Yeah, he just kind of seems full of it, but
he's just like very squirmy.
Yeah, but Warren is totally down to earth, and I met him a couple times.
Warren Buffet.
He has a Diet Coke machine in his office, which I want in mine. So
you have to have one. I don't know why you don't already.
You tell me. So
that's what we got to work on. Coke machine, like an actual soda fountain.
Oh yeah, because Coke is one of his products. So you'll, when you go to the arena, which I think is a Pepsi arena, all the Pepsi signs are covered up.
It's great.
Yeah, but like Dairy Queen, he has investments in Dairy Queen. So if you saw my picture, you know, we had $1, you know, deli bars and ice cream and stuff like that. So.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's a good time. Are you going? When is this? Is this an annual event?
Yeah. Yep. So it's usually the first weekend in May, I think. And
okay.
Yeah. We even move Cinco de Mayo because of this event.
Hey, you have to. Warren is a native.
Yeah, so, and he's good. I mean, obviously, particularly his daughter, Susie Buffett, the Sherwood Foundation, is a great philanthropic supporter of the community.
Oh, well, that's great. Yeah, I've read about her before. Yeah. Maybe from you.
Probably. So, but anyway. Yeah.
She's on the map.
So, yeah, this was the year I should have shown up again to watch the film, but.
Next year.
Yeah.
Next year for Berkshire Weekend.
It'll be somebody like, I don't know.
Does it conclude tonight, or is this tomorrow?
I think the annual meeting was pretty much the today, and then I think tomorrow they still have the they call it Berkshire Days, but where you can go to all the different, I say booths, but you know, like get the deals and stuff like that for all the.
Okay. Yeah, it says here 11 to 4 exclusive shareholder only shopping event.
Yes.
So you can get some great tumblers, watches, or Berkshire Hathaway socks for $32.
It is a big deal. I mean,
yeah.
Fruit of the Loom had it looked like a 200 person line to get in to the Fruit of the Loom shop.
That's a lot.
So people are into it.
I like the artwork for the event. It looks like some from Woodstock. It's really cool.
Yeah, it did look good. So, but anyway, it's fun.
Berkshire Hathaway Inc. All right. Good deal. All right. So next we have, movie tagline quiz. So what is this, Robert?
Well, I was just thinking, I'm going to quiz you with different movie taglines where I'll say the tagline and you're going to have to guess the movie. I should say, right. Hands up. There will be no cheating, no looking it up.
You never have to ask such a question.
I wanted to. So I have about 20 of them. But in order to narrow it down,
okay,
we don't have to do this every time, or we can quiz each other, or I think it's better that you don't know, but I'll tell you, all these movies are 1984 movies.
These are all 1984?
Yeah, so that should make it a little bit easier for you. So,
yeah,
I will start off with some easy ones, all right?
Okay.
Give you some softballs here. So you ready?
I am ready, sir.
This is Samantha Baker, and today is her 16th birthday. The problem is, nobody remembers.
16 Candles.
Correct.
All right.
Friday, April 13th is Jason's unlucky day.
Friday the 13th, part 4.
The final chapter.
The final chapter.
Yeah.
I get credit for that, though.
I'll give you credit for that. So.
Okay. I would have said those words. Yeah. I was trying to think. But yeah. What is the tagline again? April 13th?
Friday, April 13th is Jason's unlucky day.
You know, I never realized they put April in the tagline.
Oh,
very interesting.
That's because that was April 13th, 1984. That's when it came out. I could not wait to go see it.
That is cool, actually. Mm-hmm. That is really cool. Okay.
Call them slobs. Call them jerks. Call them gross. Just don't call them when you're in trouble.
Call them slobs. Call them jerks.
Call them gross. Just don't call them when you're in trouble.
Oh, I know what this is. Okay, I don't know what this is. I want to say it's Ghostbusters, but that's not it. Call them slobs, call them jerks. It is Police Academy?
It is Police Academy.
There it is. I knew it was in the same vein as like comedy, ridiculousness, authoritative. Yeah. Okay. This is a good one.
Yeah. If Nancy doesn't wake up screaming, she won't wake up at all.
A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Absolutely. All right. So I thought those were some softball ones for you there.
Yeah, some softball.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. One kid.
Oh, it gets tough now.
One kid, one town, one chance.
One kid, one town, one chance. It's not Starman.
It's not.
So it is. These are all 1984 movies?
Yes.
One kid, one town, one chance? Okay, give me 20 seconds and I'll have the answer for you. Need some theme music here. One kid, one town, one chance. Is it?
I have locations for this.
I give up.
It is Footloose.
Footloose! Ugh. I should know that. I love Footloose. I really do.
It's a good one.
Once you said that, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
of course.
So that's the thing. It's hard when you just hear it out of context. You're like, oh, that's right on the.
You know, it's so true. It's such a weird like thing, but then it makes sense. Okay.
This one's just two words. This one's two words.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Trust him.
Trust him. Is that a James Bond film?
No, but you're not far off.
Okay, then it's a. It's not Rambo 2, is it?
No, but it could be one creator's version of James Bond.
Then it is Dudley Moore. Who would this be? Okay, just give me a second before I lose this one. Trust him.
Trust him.
And it's in the vein of James Bond.
I would
say somebody that likes James Bond movies might like this movie.
Yes.
Okay. And these are films, not TV shows.
These are all films.
Okay.
Motion picture films.
Oh, is Walker Texas Ranger in this?
It is not.
Okay. I give up.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
That's the tagline?
That's it. Yeah.
For Indiana Jones?
Yeah.
Trust him?
And some of these films have multiple taglines. I just chose one.
Yeah.
But
that seems like a weak tagline for Spielberg.
Yeah. That's all you need.
No, I get it. You don't need the tagline for Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Good one.
All right.
That was Temple of Doom.
Yes.
Okay.
The needs of the one outweigh the needs of the many.
The needs of the one?
Outweigh the needs of the many.
Highlander?
No. It was a riff on the line. It's a sequel. So it's kind of a spin on that line from.
The needs of the one outweigh the needs of the many.
Yeah.
May I get one hint of what genre this is?
Sci-fi. Or, yeah.
Starman?
Star Trek 3.
Oh, is that Wrath of Khan?
No, this is Star Trek 3, The Search for Spock.
Oh, the needs of the one. Okay, all right.
So
makes
this
sense.
It was kind of a spin on Spock's line was kind of the opposite.
That's a good one. That is a good one. I'm getting my ass kicked in this quiz.
Yeah, I'm not taking score, I should.
But okay.
How do you kill something that can't possibly be alive? Now, this is a tough one out of context because it gives no hints.
I'm going to guess... this is a horror movie?
Yes.
Is it Return of the Living Dead?
It is not.
Is it Evil Dead?
It is not.
Is it Evil Dead 2?
It is not.
Is it it's not The Blob. That was 1989, right?
Correct.
Does it have anything to do with a virus?
John Carpenter directed it.
The Thing.
1984.
It has to be The Fog.
Based on a book by Stephen King.
The Fog's not Stephen King.
No.
Oh, this is right under my nose then. What King book did Carpenter direct? You Can't Kill Someone That's Not Even Alive.
Mm-hmm.
Christine?
Christine.
Okay, there it is. For some reason, I thought Christine was later in the 80s. Was that 84 then? Wow.
It was 84, yeah. Took place in 78, supposedly. But
okay.
All right.
Good
your
one.
Your future is in its hands. The thing that won't die in the nightmare that won't end. And this gives no hints.
Your future is in his hands?
Yeah, that's probably that best one.
Okay.
As a kind of a lead to what it could be.
Starman?
No.
I'm really hung up on Starman.
Starman is not on this list. I'll tell you right now.
Okay, good. All right. Your future is in his hands. Can you say it one more time, sir?
Your future is in its hands.
Uh-huh.
The thing that won't die and the nightmare that won't end. This is a tough one, I know.
Your future's in his hands and it'll die. The thing that won't end. Is it going to be... Is Lou Gossett Jr. in it?
He is not.
Okay. I don't know why that would give away. Lou Gossett. I give up. I'm not going to get this one.
Terminator.
Oh, for the love.
That's one, like, you know, it's not one that just easily comes to my, you know.
Thank you for being
future
kind.
Would be the one to be.
I'm like, terrible at this.
There, so I told you brush it's, hard up out, it's hard out of context. So.
I do love this game, though. It's very. Yeah, you're like looking for clues, but there doesn't need to be any because there's usually not.
This one you might get because.
Okay.
The
These
year,
are good.
The year we make contact.
Oh, the year we make contact.
It's a sequel.
It's a sequel to 2001 Space Odyssey?
Correct.
Yeah. 2001.
10.
10. That's it.
10 is the sequel. Yeah.
Okay. That's it.
All right.
I get partial credit. I know what it is. I know it's the sequel to the 2001.
All right. Adventure runs in the family.
Romancing the Stone.
No, but this film was discussed on the Razzies list.
Today? Supergirl.
Yes. Yep. Supergirl it is. Yeah.
Thanks for the clue. Wouldn't have got that. Adventure does run the family, unless we're fighting in another galaxy. Then we're not going to do this movie.
We got five words here. Cute, clever, mischievous, intelligent, dangerous.
Pretty in Pink.
Which was on today. My sister was watching. But
that is a great movie.
Yeah.
A little dated with some of the stereotypes.
Applause, applause, applause.
You know, 16 Candles was the first DVD I ever owned out of anything.
No, really?
I could have gotten. I got 16 Candles. I was like, I want to have this as my first. And I still have it.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay, can you read that one more time?
Cute, clever, mischievous, intelligent, dangerous. This film and Indiana Jones created PG-13.
Oh, okay. Then Gremlins.
It is Gremlins.
Oh, yeah. Right. Wouldn't have got that if you didn't give me that nugget. So thank you for the lifeline.
I have two different taglines for this one.
Okay.
Because they're both pretty simple. So I'll just give you the first one first.
Okay.
An adult nightmare.
Oh. It's Children of the Corn.
It is. Good
there
job.
There we go.
I was like,
there
you better get this one. The second one was, and a child shall lead them.
And a child shall lead them. So. A child shall lead them, I would have gotten right off the bat. But an adult nightmare, I had to think for a second. But yeah, that is a good one. I always, By the way, I love the Children of the Corn shirt you got me. It's
good.
I constantly have it in rotation. It gets a lot of like compliments, like, "Oh, it's a cool shirt."
Got to get those unique ones.
You have to. It's awesome.
If you get on our bad side, you're toast.
Firestarter.
It is Firestarter.
Yes.
I can't believe toast. That one got through. Like, really? That's.
Yeah, I know. It's almost you're toast. Really? Oh, literally.
This is a long.
It's gonna burn you.
Film that you're probably not familiar with.
Okay.
It is the future. Machines are being programmed to turn against us. Someone must stop the madman who started it all.
Is it the sequel to Westworld?
It is not.
I don't think that was 1984.
But that is a very... You're on the right path.
Okay. What was the tagline again?
It is the future. Machines are being programmed to turn against us. Someone must stop the madman who started it all.
And we already did Terminator, so it would have to be Blade Runner?
No, but it is John. So John Crichton created Westworld, and John Crichton directed this. It's not a well-known film, so you're probably not familiar.
I'm not going to get it.
Runaway.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't have got that at all.
So,
but John Crichton, yeah.
Did I say John Crichton?
Yeah.
Jurassic World. Is it John Crichton?
Well, Michael Crichton.
Why am I saying John Crichton? Yeah.
But I know what you mean. I wouldn't have got that.
Yeah.
But that's a good one. That's a deep cut.
It is. All right. The heat is on.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Beverly Hills Cop it is.
Yes. The heat is on.
They're here to save the world.
They're here to save the world. Santa Claus the movie. No. Ghostbusters?
Ghostbusters it is.
Oh, I was confused. I always mix up if it's 83 or 84, but perfect. I got to remember 84.
All right.
They did save the world, Robert.
They did. You've made it through Halloween. Now try and survive Christmas.
Oh, Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Absolutely.
There we go.
I'm
at about 40% here, I think.
Yeah, I think you're doing pretty good. Only the old one could teach him the secret of the masters.
Karate Kid.
Karate Kid it is.
There it is.
This one isn't my type of film, but you might like it. But so I included it. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. It's your type of film?
No, your type of film.
Oh, I was going to say, I was just going to echo, 1984 is a damn good year for movies.
I love 1984. So
truly, like Ghostbusters, Karate Kid.
Yeah.
All the ones we just mentioned, pretty phenomenal. Gremlins, pretty good.
Yeah. So this one you'll probably get right away, but it's not my type of movie.
Okay.
Boyhood dreams, a bat made from a tree struck from lightning, and most importantly, a never-ending passion for the game.
The Natural?
The Natural it is.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
All right. I hope you get this next one.
Good call. Okay.
In America. All right. In America, heroes aren't raised. They're orphaned.
Red Dawn.
Red Dawn it is.
Yes. Which actually the other tagline is, there's never been a battle on U.S. soil in our time. Or there's never been a battle on U.S. soil until now.
Until now, yeah.
Which isn't true because there was the War of 1812.
Do you go?
It was, there's never been a foreign army on U.S. soil in our time until now. And I think that's okay because our time means this generation. There was a controversy when this came out because the nerds were like, people like me were like, the War of 1812.
It's not true. Good. You're writing on the posters.
Was Red Dawn 84?
It was.
That's a great movie.
It was the year. The year.
I think the title of the show is 1984 is the best film for best year,
best
for,
year
film.
For film. I agree.
Is it your favorite year for movies like ever?
I think so. Well, yeah, I just look at everything. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't get over it.
Like every week there was a great new film. So, all right. They've been laughed at, picked on and put down, but now it's time for the odd to get even.
They've been laughed at.
Their time has come.
They've been laughed at, picked on,
picked
and, put
on
down.
And put down. But now it's time for the odd to get even. Their time has come.
Would it be? I don't know. I'm not going to get this.
Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, of course. Of course. I should know that. Of course.
All right. Finally.
Okay.
They're back. For everyone who believes in the beat.
Is it a musical?
I would say yes. I'll tell you it's also a canon film.
Okay, it's a movie about the rock band.
No.
No? They're back for everyone that believes in the beat?
Yep. Might be more about dancing than music.
Flashdance.
Flashdance was an 84 film, but yeah.
It wasn't. Okay. It was. It's not Footloose, because we did that.
Yeah.
So,
it's a sequel. Because they're back.
Grease 2?
Oof, no.
Staying Alive?
No.
No, that was 82. It's a sequel. They're back for everyone.
It has a notorious subtitle.
Oh. Does it?
It does.
Okay, I give up. I'm not going to get it.
Break into Electric Boogaloo.
Oh. Yes. Electric Boogaloo. It is notorious. That's a good one.
Oh. People are more familiar with the title, I think, than the actual movie.
Oh, I've never seen the movie. I'm very familiar with the title. That's hilarious. That's a good one.
Yeah. Electric you think you did pretty well. Thank you.
That's a good list. It is difficult
to just be blindsided with no context, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna leave this in here for the next one. I'm gonna curate a list.
All right.
I think you would get most of them. We did that once before, and I think you did.
Yeah, I don't know. So you can pick whatever parameters. It doesn't have to be by year. It can be something. But
the year is good. I like the year because it kind of focuses. Because if it is kind of wild if there's no context.
Yeah, because then it could be anything.
Could be anything. Yeah, but that's a good one.
Yeah, I think you did well.
I wanted to do a blind man's bluff, but I was so enamored with your list, I didn't actually pull the link up. So
you just did nothing.
I do have one. I just want to set it up. But I wanted to ask, when you go through the list, we talked about 1984. Mm-hmm. Maybe aside from, I can't think of another year that has that many good movies. And the ones that come to mind are other 80s years. Yeah, you know,
like 82 is also a good one. You know,
82.
Because and there's some taglines I didn't get to because they were just too on the nose. You know, like Starman had one that I was just like, it was seemed too obvious, you know, like I want to make it somewhat difficult, but yeah. So, I mean, I look back at the year 82, 84, I think are some of my favorite years.
They're great. They all like kind of run together. I mean, with good movies, they packed them in.
Yeah.
Okay. It's time for Blind Man's Bluff. Final episode, final segment of the show and the description on Robert's site at setjitter.com. And this, I have never seen this one, so
okay.
I don't have any context, so I'm really excited. But this movie is often remembered by my generation as an early haunted house movie. Released in 1976, it's best known for its cast, including Betty Davis, Oliver Reed, Karen Black, Eileen Heckert, and Burgess Meredith. Burnt Offerings. What is this movie? And it's an extensive catalog on your site.
Is it? I think it was kind of a quick one, I think, if I remember. So
it's fantastic.
Have you seen Burnt Offerings?
Yeah. No, I haven't. Is it a horror movie?
It is a horror movie.
Really?
It was. So if you're familiar with A View to a Kill and Phantasm.
The same place. Yes.
Outside of Oakland, California, or in Oakland, I can't remember. So
I did recognize the house right away.
So they shot in and out of the house, and I do regret because they have a couple pool scenes, which I did not go to the pool area, which I realized it was kind of in this kind of, there's trees surrounding it, so I didn't know it was there, but I think the pool is still there. So
In the movie there's the pool.
Yeah. So they did shoot there. So hopefully it's still there for fans to visit. But
and I was like on the Haunting or Haunted Mansion where they
was this a TV movie too? I can't remember. But it was just kind of one of those creepy films where
really
it kind of ends on a note where I remember, you know, when you're a kid, those things kind of like you know, they stick with you. How creepy it is and so forth.
Yeah, they sneak up and
And actually somebody just sent me a message about this film because when I was putting the screen caps together, I didn't go to the cemetery location, but I was able to figure out where it was. And so they were really happy that I was able to find that missing
able to get it.
Yeah. So
there's a ladder in the room from the window shot you got.
Oh, gotcha.
just kind of hanging out there.
Yeah. So maybe, so if you go at the right time, you can take tours of the house. And I was just shooting through the windows, but I was there primarily.
You got good shots.
For A View to a Kill and Phantasm to kind of get some shots. But
when you found out Burnt Offerings, there it is.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. I had shots that happened to match up by chance for the most part. So yeah, none of my screenshots were taken on purpose. None of the shots were taken on purpose for this movie.
But no, it just happened to work out.
So,
well, this is a cool one. And they got Betty Davis to be in it.
Yes. So Betty Davis, Karen Black. There's good commentary on the Blu-ray for this as well.
Oh, really?
Karen Black and the director, and Karen kind of being honest about how she was, how she felt about working with Betty and so forth. But yeah.
Oh, nice.
So it's worth a watch. I'm sure it's on Tubi or something.
Oh, that's cool. Tubi can't go wrong. Can't go wrong.
Yeah.
These shots here are black and white. Was this like a flashback in the movie?
Yeah. So they flashed back to the cemetery. And so I was able to, those aren't my shots. I just took it from Google Street View or something like that. But I was able to find the right spots.
Oh, cool.
So if I ever get back to San Francisco, I'm not a huge fan of San Francisco, but.
No, too many hills.
I don't know. If I ever do get back there, I'll do a more proper location, but.
For hello, Robert will not be doing Mrs. Doubtfire. It's a tough seed to get out of
it. It is. But and I did meet Karen Black many years ago, and I remember her most. I think it's at the end of this page.
Okay, I'll take a look. Oh, the guy drinking and the shirt off in the middle of the yard,
as you did in the '70s. That's
right. Just, yeah, just plop down here and so there you go.
So, but where she is passed, at, Robert? This was at I think it was Monster Mania in New Jersey or something like that. So I feel like she passed away just a few years after this. So, but
oh, no,
she was really nice.
Well, that's a great page. It's a good entry, despite not even going there for that reason. You got great shots.
Yeah. I just came upon it. I was like, oh, I should do this movie.
Burnt Offerings and Karen Black. Let's see. It looks like.
So
she
I know
her pass away 10 years ago.
So she's kind of better known for like Airport 77. She is, of course, Capricorn 1 as the female reporter.
Oh, yeah. Good call. Capricorn 1 is a great film.
It is still fantastic. So that.
It is.
Next month, their anniversary is coming up. So I'll be doing a page for that soon.
Capricorn 1?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, perfect.
That's even though I haven't been to all those locations yet, but I'll do my best.
That's okay. I'm sure you can construct a good one. What year did that come out again? 70?
That was the 70s too, so. 72, I think it was so. 78 or something like that.
Yeah. Okay,
1977. Ew. 7 years old.
Aw, a young Robert.
I was, because, I still do that kind of reverse thing, like, if Peggy Sue Got Married came out today, she'd be traveling back all the way to 1998.
It's sad when you do the mix up. It's like, what's going on?
Yeah, like everything's what's so happening? Different. Yeah,
it's crazy. Makes you think.
I don't. I do not like it. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'm not having it. But that was a great show. I love the tagline quiz. Yeah. Great job with that. That was fun. Well, that'll be our show tonight, Robert. Unless you had anything else, sir.
That is it for me.
That is it for us then. Thank you for tuning in to the Podcastle Set Cheddar Saturdays, and we will see you on the set.
Start tearing the old man down, run past the heather and down to the old road. Start turning the grain into the ground, roll a new leaf over. In the middle of the night, there's an old man shredding around in the gathering rain. Hey, mister, if you're gonna walk on water, oh, could you drop a line my way? Omaha, somewhere in middle America, give it right to the heart of matters. It's a heart that matters more. Think you better turn your ticket in. Get your money back out.